When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. What does it cry out, church? Hallelujah for saving me. Praise God, praise God. Amen. What an honor to be back at Rehoboth. Amen. A place of fruitfulness, and look what the Lord has done. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for your pastor and his good wife, Brother and Sister Brownie. Amen. For their 15 years of service here and just giving of their heart and their tears and their prayers and just their faithfulness. Amen. To this area and to all of you and to this assembly, I give honor to Brother and Sister Chris Brownie, your associate pastor, and also to Brother and Sister Hatton. Amen. Your assistant associate pastors, and to all the saints of God of Rehoboth, God bless you all. It is good to be back. Amen. Hallelujah. And what a joy it was to see those kids graduating this morning. Amen. How, any parents in here realize it's now school time again? Can anybody say glory to God, hallelujah, and amen? My wife just told me about this little thing that she heard, that mother was taking her kindergarten, beginning kindergarten daughter to the evaluation interview before the class. They don't do that in every district, but in some, the teachers kind of evaluate where each child is. And so she turned her over to the teacher, and then after the little interview and evaluation, the little girl came back and she said, "Mom, I don't think I should go to this school." And her mother said, "Well, why not, honey?" She says, "They don't know anything." She said, "Well, what do you mean they don't know anything?" She said, "That teacher sat down and she kept on pointing and say, 'Well, what is this color? What is this color? What's this number?'" She said, "Mom, she didn't know anything." And then she stopped a little bit and she looked up at her mom. She says, "Well, you know, maybe I should come. Maybe I can help her." You know, when we are younger, we think we know everything. When we get older, we still think we should know everything. But the fact of the matter is, all we are is fellow strugglers going through life day in, day out, year in, year out, and living for a Savior that knows everything. Everything. Amen. Brother Brownie, thank you again for this privilege of being here on your 15th anniversary. Do you realize I was only 59 when that we started here? 59. Do you realize that I'm preaching these anniversaries right out of the eternity for me? Amen. I'm sorry that my wife is not here today. Pray for her. She has had a very, very rough year. She's still living for God, and she's still keeping this guy in line. But she has been really slowed down. Her mobility is very, very slow, and she's got some really severe bone-on-bone movement in her knees. And the knee surgeon has even looked at her x-rays and said, "I feel so sorry for you, ma'am. But looking at the deformity of the bones of your left knee, he said, I do 250 surgeries a year. of knee surgeries, replacements. He said, but I would not touch yours at all, because I know that it would not be successful. So she's struggling. She really does need a miracle. And I know a God that specializes in one. And praise God. Psalms 121 this morning or this afternoon. Psalms 121, penned by David. And in verse 1, he says this. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If you go down just to the 125th Psalm, same author, he says in verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. So the Lord, everybody say it with me, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Can everybody shout unto God with a voice of triumph and thanking the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. I have come this afternoon with this thought. The mountains are calling. I must go. The mountains are calling. I must go. Brother Brownie, would you pray right now? Amen. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. To you be glory. To you be glory. Thank you. You may be seated. This quote, the mountains are calling and I must go. It's a quote from a Scottish immigrant who migrated, believe it or not, to Portage, Wisconsin. He graduated from the University of Wisconsin, and his name is John Muir. He was passionate about wild places. He explored them, he wrote about them, and he even campaigned to protect them. Muir believed in protecting these places for their own sake, and for the well-being of people and the wildlife they inhabited. He was very instrumental in establishing and preserving what now are our national parks. He cherished and extensively studied the mountain ranges of the West. Thus this quote, the mountains are calling, I must go. Brothers and sisters, around this globe, God Almighty created mountains on all seven continents of earth. Kilimanjaro of Africa, Mount Everest of Asia, Mount Kosciuszko of Australia, Mount Elbrus of Europe, Denali, or what used to be Mount McKinley of North America, and it is Aconcagua or Huanania or whatever it is in South America. Just a month ago today, I had the privilege to travel to the last frontier, they say, to Alaska, which has an abundance of mountain ranges, and to me, I don't know about to you, but to me, there's just something about mountains that makes us want to look up and to take in all of their splendor, their size, their sense of stability, and their strength, their beauty and their inspiration. They just have an alluring, beckoning call. King David thought so as well. That's when he wrote, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Looking up to the hills or the mountains, those high places of God's creation, reminded David that his help, amen, that his help came, how? Not from within himself, not from the money that he had or the riches that he had, or the power that he had, but his help came from the Lord, which made that mountain and those hills. Throughout the Bible, we read of God calling mankind to the summits of his created mountains. Brothers and sisters, in times like we are living right now, when violence, moral decay, pestilence and sin abound, the enemy of our souls would like nothing more than we would be distressed, downtrodden, and depressed. Saints of Rehoboth, I come this 15th year of your anniversary to express to you that it is the wise, and it is wise to look to the strong for strength. Dwellers in valleys, constant dwellers in valleys, are subject to many disorders for which there is no cure. But a journey in the uphill climb, giving thanks to God, will cause those to shake off their lethargy and be resolved to climb up to a higher level. It's a proven psychological fact that the people that live in mountainous areas and simply live in the valley, they get some kind of a syndrome that they are small, that they are weak, that they are inept. But I'm telling you, church, down below, they become prey to the marauders. And to escape from them, the surest method is to fly to the strongholds upon the mountains. And often before they ascend that hill, the sick and the plundered people are always looking towards the hills and long to be at their summits. Church, just prior to Psalm 121 that we just read, you will naturally find Psalm 120, where David is pouring out his heart. He's lamenting his pain and his agony. He wrote in Psalm 120, he said, in my distress. Anybody in here ever been distressful? He said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He's not talking about his own lips. He's talking about those that are lying against him and deceitful tongues that are coming against him. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. And he says, woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. The significance of this psalm, church, is that Meshech and Kedar are a long way from the peace of Jerusalem. The meaning here suggests that no matter where David lives in this world, The psalmist remains in hostile territory, facing lying enemies who don't want peace. When we step outside these doors, we are living in the midst of an area, amen, not just here, but all over this country, where there are people that are not interested in peace. They are not interested in right. They are not interested in doing things as they should do it. No, my friend, they're interested in war. They're interested in violence. They're interested, but I'll tell you, out of all of that context, David said, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And it's out of this context that David begins to sing, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I don't know about you, church, but my help comes from the Lord. Brothers and sisters of Rehoboth, the mountains are calling, and I must go. Throughout Scripture, you will find that God always has given mankind a choice. I heard that in Sunday school this morning in the first service. And by the way, Pastor Brownie, that was an awesome message that you gave today. Amen. I wonder, can I come back next week and hear part two? God's always given mankind a choice. God gives me a choice. God gives you a choice on a daily basis. A choice between right and wrong. A choice between righteousness and wickedness. A choice between life and death. And in each choice, God, through His Word, calls out to us to choose life. To choose life. You see, the Scriptures point out that many a conflict, many a battle in life has been fought in the valleys of our life. Anybody besides me ever been in the valley? Amen. What we feel is a valley of despair, a valley, amen, of having more month than we have finance, a valley indeed, amen, of facing peoples that seem to be good friends, but indeed, amen, are stabbing you in the back. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have, my friend. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, there are choices that are made in the valleys of life. God always has showed His people victory. Everybody say victory. God has showed His people victory. Even in David's most quoted psalm, David wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. I tell you, Thou preparest a table before me. Where? In the presence of mine enemies. This world might be going to hell in a handbasket, but I'm telling you, we don't have to go with them. As a matter of fact, if we will do our job, we can bring a lot of them with us. I'm telling you, when I first preached the second anniversary service here, I guarantee you there wasn't even half as many people in this room as there is now. Don't tell me in all the struggles that God can't still bring forth the victories, the abundance, the help. David said, surely goodness and mercy. And maybe, has anybody in this house felt God's goodness and His mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you realize that the Lord met with several of His chosen leaders on top of the mountains? Huh? On the mountaintops? Hallelujah. Your pastor spoke of one today. Whether it was the Lord or an angel, I'm not sure yet, but we're going to make it. Amen. And He met with Moses on the top called Mount Sinai. For what purpose? To receive the law. The irrevocable law. To receive instruction. Exodus 19 and 20 says, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. It was read here today. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Everybody say, he went up. I want you to know God gave direction, but Moses had to make the choice to go. God also called Moses at the end of his life to another top of a mountain, Mount Nebo. I've stood on Mount Nebo. And God showed Moses specifically, even knowing that Moses himself would not be able to go into what God was about to show him, but showed him Israel's future. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 1 says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. My friend, God said it, God did it, and they're still there today. My friend, it was on the mountain that your future, it's when you're at the top of your game, at the top of your experience, that God's willing to show you your future. It was at the top of Mount Carmel that God drew the prophet Elijah. We spoke about that today. What a confirmation to this message, Brother Brennan. To do what? He was challenging the forces of darkness. Church, this is no time for us to remain silent. This is no time for us to act like the world outside of the door and something else inside the door. It's time that we be the same. Everybody say the same. That we be the same. Amen. That we are loving people. That we want to see everyone go to glory. Amen. But it was there on top of Mount Carmel that Elisha too, in challenging the forces of darkness that were following the false deity called Baal. 1 Kings 18:38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, can you imagine they're in the midst of a 3.5-year drought and God calls for them to bring up water and they drenched it, the trench, the sacrifice and everything else. Amen. And Elijah said that the God that answers by fire, let him be God. That was the challenge. Is Baal God or is Jehovah God? That's the challenge today in light and darkness. Is the world secularism in this world today, which they call progressivism, is that really the God of this earth, or is Jesus Christ the King of Kings? And if you know him, stand to your feet and proclaim it, that he is God and he alone. Glory! Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm sorry for all of you that thought I was done. The fire fell. Everybody say the fire fell. I want the fire to fall in here today, don't you? Hallelujah. And the fire fell, burnt the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people All 450 prophets of Baal, all the people, when they saw that, they fell on their knees and they said, "The Lord, He is God. He is God. The Lord, He is God." I know people right in this room that know that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is God of the universe. Do you realize that Carmel literally means in Hebrew vineyard? And there atop Mount Carmel, God brought forth fruit in showing who was God and who was not. Church, if we're not careful, it's just too easy for us to fall into the doldrums of the valleys of life. That quickly puts our attitude and our faith, our feelings and our actions right into the tank. When we take our spiritual sights off the one who desires that we have and maintain a victorious stance, we end up in the spiritual valleys that sap our strength and steal our joy and emotionally pull us downward. Can I restate that quote again, church? The mountains are calling. Those uplifting experiences are calling. Those places where you know that God answered prayer and did the miracles, they're calling. And I don't know about you, and I don't know what you've been through lately. I know what I've been through lately. And all I gotta say, the mountains are calling. And I must get out of the doldrums. I must get out of this situation and climb the hill. The mountains are calling, and as David's saying, I will, by choice, lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Church, when the enemy of our souls tries to get us down and out, that's the time we need to stop, and we need to start considering where we are. Stop and think right now where you are. Not just in this building, but where are you spiritually? And stop and remember how you got here. How many of you can admit right now that since you've been in the body of Christ, since you've been coming to this church, that you're better off than you were before you ever started? Can you stand to your feet as the choir sang, "Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your help. Thank you, God, for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord God." If you've been serving God one day or for decades, we all need to stop looking at the negatives and make the choice to put our focus on God's high places of His victories in our lives. If God has healed you once, I said, if God has healed you once, then you know what? What He did then, He can do it again. I said He can do it again. Praise God. He has provided, amen, a way spiritually for all of us, physically or financially. And then if He did it once, if He paid that bill once, He can pay it again and again and again. You know why? Because my God owns the cattle of all of the hills and the mountains. Look to the mountain of God's abundant blessings. Psalms 28 and 7 said, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Everybody say, I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. I think that would be good in honor right now. God, I praise You right now, God. I praise You, Jesus. I praise You, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God is with us. He is for us and he helps us. We just need to look up to the high peaks of his blessings. For our help comes from him. Education won't save you. Your finances and whatever in your checkbook right now, it won't save you. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. The social situation of life, it's not going to save you. I tell people all the time, you don't have to be old to die. You don't even have to be sick to die. We just got to be ready to die. Amen. We just got to be ready. We just got to be ready. And my friend, if that's not your case here today, before you leave here, I would highly suggest that you get ready. Why? Because God wants to help you. Jesus showed us, as recorded, that thousands of people were assembled up on another hill called the Mount of Olives. No needed essentials were brought to the meeting. But a little young old little boy, he brought a lunch and two fishes and five biscuits. One young lad was willing to make a choice. When Jesus said to his own disciples, he said, "Give you them to eat." I can see all of them pulling out their wallets and all, you know, their purses and going there and da 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 and going. But one little boy who was willing to sacrifice his lunch and put it in the hands of Jesus. That's the key, folks. When we put the problem in the hands of Jesus, when we put the situation in the hands of Jesus, when we indeed take the bills and put them before. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I just recently said this to our own church, amen, but at one of our ladies' meetings, maybe some of you were there, I wasn't there, but my wife told me, amen, that when she came home, that there was a sister in one of our churches whose husband was not saved, and so she determined that she wanted her, anybody in here wants your whole family to go to heaven? Praise God. And so she, indeed, she had been praying, she had been fasting for her husband, but nothing meant, and all of a sudden it dawned on her. She said, you know what? She went into his closet, and she took out, amen, a sport coat and a pair of pants. She took into his chest of drawers and brought forth, amen, a certain pair of socks. She went in and brought out his shoes, and she bundled them all up, put them in a bag, and took them to church with her. And when she got to church, she put the coat out and the pants and the socks all in the position that were the places and the shoes and the shirt that she brought, that special shirt, and she brought it. And I don't know how many weeks went by, but she was persistent. Amen. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one Sunday morning, they woke up and her husband says, "I'm going to church with you today." And guess what? He picked out that coat. He picked out that pair of trousers. He picked out that pair of socks. He picked out that shirt and those socks, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Oh, the amazing things of God. But you see, we got to make some decisions here. Can you imagine when those disciples got those baskets and they were empty? And then all of a sudden they would go up to Jesus. And they're probably looking at Jesus, and then they look down their basket. What? You know, we just kind of read over, you know, these scriptures. You know, all of a sudden, I think it was in the twinkling of an eye, that's when he's going to come by. Amen. The sound of the last trunk. It's not going to be a drawn-out affair, my friend. It's going to be here and there. Matter of fact, it's going to be faster than that. But I'm telling you, we all need to be ready. And here they go. They go up to every individual, estimated at 15,000 people there, amen, with 5 biscuits, 2 fish, and now 15,000 people are fed to the full. And I know some of us can eat a lot of food, including myself. Amen. And then they still had baskets of leftovers. I'm telling you, my friend, when you get in the mountaintops of Jesus' blessings, God can pour out blessings that you've not even dreamed about. That God can do anything. Somebody say God can do anything. If you're going through a situation right now, then stand to your feet and proclaim it to Him. God, I know that you can do anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anything. Praise God. And you don't need artificial intelligence to get it done. Just stop and think what God's done for you and what yet lies ahead in His kingdom and eternity. I don't know why you're all still standing. You can still be seated. Hey, I've made it to the halfway point. He has shown us mercy to all of us. Start climbing right now. Start rejoicing right now. Yeah, but bitch, I don't see it yet. It don't matter if you don't see it yet. Get it out of the closet and put it in the front pew of the church. Amen. And just believe God for it. Those high places are calling. Those mountains are beckoning. It's worth the climb, church. Why? Because you're worth it in His eyes. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. How do you know that? Well, I'll tell you, because He proved it to all of us. Where? On top of yet another mount, a mount called Calvary. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His garments and cast lots. Church, God took a valley experience and brought it to a mountaintop of victory for the entire human race. On the Mount of all mounts, where God made a way for us all to have everlasting victory. Everlasting victory. All right, you can stand with me. Somebody say it's about time. You know, I'm getting old. You know, older people just like to talk. No, I just sense there's something in the air today that the church needs to hear, that we need to start looking up. We need to start looking up. Psalm 125, we read at the beginning, it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. They shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. What was it that was so special about Zion? What was it about so special about Zion? Well, David wrote in Psalm 133 in verse 3, he said, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there, everybody say for there, on the top of the mountain, for there the Lord commandeth the blessing, even life forevermore. Folks, can you close your eyes right now and just lift up your hands? Amen. Folks, our help comes only from above. Let us lift our eyes with hope. Amen. Lift your eyes with hope. Amen. Expectancy and with joy. Satan will always endeavor to keep our eyes upon our sorrows, our disappointments, and our failures, so that we may be disquieted and discouraged. But the mountains of our faith are calling us to resolve and to look up and see God's great blessings that he has in store for us all. Church, Jesus has proved that he knows you're worth it. He still heals. He still saves. He still provides. He still is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And to that cause, I would hope today that all of us would say, I must go. I must go. I must go to the top of those mountains that he's calling us to. Amen. If that's your call today, if that's your desire today, then get out of the comforts of your pew right now and come down and keep climbing. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. Come on. Come on, church. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.